Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting a winter planning meeting at Hog Heaven Barbecue in Mount Carmel, Illinois, at noon on Monday, January 13th. Lunch will be served. RSVP to 866-837-9027.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red May wheat, 640 and a half, up 4 and a half. Soft May wheat is 590 3/4, up 1 1/4. March corn, 410 1/2, up, down 1 1/2, now down 1 3/4. July, 425 1/2, now 3/4, down 2. January soybeans, 1317 1/4. They are up 21. March soybeans, 1292 3/4, up 19. And July beans at 1256 3/4, up 16 1/4. January soybean meal, 444.30, up 11.30. January soybean oil, 37.69, down 5 cents. February live cattle, 136.87 1/2, down 32 1/2. And February lean hogs are 86.02 1/2. They're up 72 1/2.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Quick programming announcement. It is a USDA reporting day. Mike will join us this afternoon after the report's release at 12:39 p.m. Central Time, as we'll parse through, Mike, what is four big reports this morning.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got a lot of littler reports that are going to probably have a lot more meaning to them, Dave. The grain stocks is going to be extremely important to the cash corn market. The winter wheat acreage number is going to be extremely important to the corn futures market, because the past 3 or 4 months, as I look back on the notes that I've made after the reports, one of the biggest issues, especially just last month in a bullish corn report from USDA, we got no traction out of that at all, and mainly because the wheat market continued to make new contract lows. And so we really need to get the wheat on board with the corn here at this stage of the game, especially since we don't have any real South American competition when it comes to wheat, and we are very much below the European wheat price right now. So the winter wheat seedings number will be as important to me in terms of the corn outlook for the rest of the 13 sales and whether I start 14 sales of corn or not, as much as the U.S. ending stocks for corn will be.
And then we have the quarterly grain stocks number on corn that you mentioned, and that important because there has been a lot of debate about how quick first quarter disappearance has been.
Yeah, and especially given that we did have a little bit of a later start to the harvest, and we've had a lot of ups and downs, you know, in the corn harvest, especially when it came to the September and the dry down effect of a wet corn year. And so that's where the December 1 stocks, because this is only to December 1, and it won't include likely what's in transit, it's going to be really hard to gauge, you know, what is actually out there. But I think the trade will take it at face value, and if the USDA number comes in at or below the average trade guess, I would expect the basis for the corn to continue to improve, as it has, as we've seen the futures market completely lose it when it comes to the corn market and the wheat market making new contract lows this week, and the trade going back to that typical MO that it's had the last 6 months of buying beans and soy and selling corn and wheat. We're seeing that once again today with the meal back trying to get all it can as the January gets ready to expire soon.
Turn our attention to soybeans, which today is strongly higher. It seems like people are buying a rumor, or what are they doing today?
Yeah, I think the main thing is the spreading and the meal. I think that the GM issue in the corn with China is still a big problem for the trade, whereas the GM issue with soy meal has been cleared up a bit with them proceeding faster on their processing of our meal, and they're taking a higher percentage based upon some trade reports. And then you see the July Nov bean spread continue its path to new contract highs today. I think those two things are definitely in the marketplace here before the report with the trade thinking we can deal with the USDA numbers and the South American production numbers in a couple hours. Let's let the technicals run here. Let's let the spreads run here would be my guess as far as why the trade's doing what it's doing ahead of the report.
Why with the old crop soybean supplies tight, and I think we'll get confirmation of that today, and exports so strong, has futures not responded?
You mean in the old crop beans or the new crop beans?
In the new crop beans.
I'm sorry?
In the new crop beans.
Well, I think it goes back to the trade has already gotten into its mindset, and I think accurately so, especially given the Monsanto earnings report earlier this week where they showed a strong increase in Latin American plantings for soy at the expense of corn. I think the trade has gotten into its mind fairly quickly on new crop corn and beans that we don't need as many acres this year, and we're going to see that the beans will go down if the corn can't go up. And so last year at this time we were coming off of a drought, and so any problems in South America meant a lot. Corn was a supportive feature to the soybeans last year at this time. Now we've got a situation completely opposite of that. The trade just does not want to buy the feed grains. They think that we have plenty of supplies right now, and so now with good South American weather, can we really expect the new crop soybeans to hold a premium if corn and wheat aren't going to help it?
All right. Everyone is leaning bearish. You can't find a bull no matter how hard you try. The market likes to be contrary. If there were to be something bullish in these numbers today, what would be the most likely scenarios?
Well, the price action is what I usually go by in that elasticity model that I track the price and lead month futures on report day going back several years would say you need to feed the bear in the corn. In other words, at 410 March corn, you're trading a 2.1 billion bushel carryover, and I think the wheat market has helped push it to that level. In the beans, it would be a report where I think you need to feed the bull, and I think today's action pre-report supports that mindset. We were trading 1270 March futures just a day ago. That would be indicative of a 160 carryover based upon my model. We're now up to $13 in March futures, and so the trade has now taken us down below a 150 carryover, or just right around a 150 carryover. So I think you need to feed the bull in beans and feed the bear in the corn. Having said that, I think the trade has been right on the money in the futures market the last 6 months of going ahead and buying beans and selling feed grains because the reaction to the USDA reports has been exactly that. So why change what's worked so well for the last 6 months?
So after the report, does that spread get unwound?
I think it has to at some point, Dave. It just goes back to what's there to unwind it. And I think that's where, for me, as a reluctant seller of new crop, because you're below profit levels and you're not putting in any kind of weather premium, any kind of inflation premium, any kind of demand premium from the export or the domestic market, you have to think, okay, what's out there to really push this market back up after the January report? It's one of our last key chances for a turn in sentiment, because you have to wait all the way to February, March for the winter wheat crop, the South American crop, and the U.S. acres.
I've been talking to different folk all week. Everybody seems to suggest if you're a hedger, just sit on your hands post-report. Are you in that camp too?
I am not. I think we're at break-even levels here, and we do not want to lose break-even levels. I will push more 14 beans out the door. I will start 14 corn sales if we cannot get a turn in this market, because I'm very nervous about where we go into the February U.S. Average cropping crop insurance time period, where I can use that actually as a hedge for my hedge. That if I hedge here and the prices rally in February and I don't get a buy signal to pull my hedges off, then I've got a crop insurance price that beats what I've got hedged. And so then I can pull my hedges off and say, now I've got my crop insurance average from February as my base hedge price. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it, because I'm going to use that February base price as a surrogate hedge as well.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Current take in the marketplace. March corn is 410 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. July, 425 and a half, down 2 1/4. January soybeans, 13.17, up 20 3/4. And July, 1256 and a half, They are up 16. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.